Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain, here by myself today. I think this is the first time I haven't had a co-host, maybe in years. But I'm going to make it work. I'm going to bring twice the energy today. We got a lot of great guests in studio today. And thankfully, I do have my son, Tristan, in the corner that will be our cameraman. So I need you to, like, give me some of your energy. Okay, son? Yeah, you can't hear him, but he said okay. But this would not be the Common Good Radio Show if I did not give grace to a very loving father that has taught me how to be a very loving father, that has led the way, that has blessed me oh so very much with so many great blessings, not to mention my family, my friends, my support system. And none of this would be possible in many of our lives if it wasn't for him. And I want to start today by reading the Lord's Prayer. It goes a little something like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So that being said, we got two awesome guests in studio today. We have Ed Ackerley, who is a mayoral candidate, in a nutshell, because there's really, if we were to kind of name all of his different titles and credentials and history, it would be a whole entire show. But he's here with, I want to thank, you know, someone involved with this campaign. We actually didn't grab your title, Cisco, but we have his, one of the supporters, or one of, I'm guessing, one of the main people on his campaign here with us. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, Sixto Molina is my chair of my campaign, and okay. he's been a great asset to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. He seems very stoic. So yeah, I can see him being a grounding force.
Yes.
I'm a listener.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, my wife's a therapist, so she told me that's the most useful trait to have.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So
he pulls me down from the edge on a regular basis. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that in my own life. My wife is the string and I'm the balloon, we'd like to think of it as. Yeah, for sure.
I call him all the time and say, here's my situation. What should I do? And he gives me his advice.
It's good to have those type of people in your life, for sure.
Exactly.
So I guess, Ed, for those who, you know, who haven't heard of Ed Ackerley and, you know, the Ackerley family, I guess, you know, explain to us who you are and, you know, and who your family is in relation to Tucson.
Well, my family came to Tucson in the late 50s, and my dad was a radio station general manager of three stations here in Tucson. And then in 1968, they started Ackerley Advertising, which is our family business. We're 55 years old this year, and I've worked there for 47. I'm a native Tucsonan. I went to Palo Verde High School. I graduated from the University of Arizona. I went on to the great school in the north, NAU, and got a master's and doctorate in leadership and education. And I've been at the Eller College since 1992 as a professor of marketing and advertising and communication and creativity and leadership. And I've had a pretty extensive career in the advertising business. That's kind of the mothership that has allowed me to be involved in quite a few community events over the years, and I've enjoyed my time in Tucson, and that's the reason I'm running for mayor, is to keep my city the place that I grew up in, the place I love.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting, and I wrote about in my book, Dear Alyssa, How to Guide a Social Change, about the time in 2011 when I was a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, 20-something-year-old kid, and I filed for mayor because, you know, like, I think, like a lot of the stuff we've discussed, like, I just saw a change that needed to happen, and I looked around, and I didn't know who else would be able to do it. And that was my kind of origin story of why I got into it. What would you say, you know, was your origin story where you went from, okay, I'm Ed Ackerley, you know, community leader, and, you know, doing this part in my community the best that I can, to okay, I got to run for mayor. This is imperative.
You know, I'm a friend. You know, he's not inviting me over for Thanksgiving dinner, but I'm a friend of Jonathan Rothschild, who was the mayor for 8 years, and he had told me that he was not going to run for mayor, and about 2 days later, he announced that he was not going to run again in 2019, and that's when I just kind of it kind of came over me that maybe I should give it a try. So I talked to a few people and my wife and so forth. And so I ran last time, and there was, you know, no incumbent at the time, so it was a wide open race. I did pretty well. I did 39.6%, and the current mayor got 55%, basically. Mm. So for a first-time candidate, never knowing anything about politics per se in terms of the process and so forth, I did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came around this time, we had this discussion, and I decided that I'd run this time, and I run as an independent, and I'm all about public safety and leadership and trying to do the things that are best for the future of Tucson. And that's kind of why I ran. And since public safety is so important, that's why I invited Sixto to be my chair, because he's brought this perspective of public safety to me, which is police and fire is really important. It's the single most important thing a mayor and council do. So,
And what would you, and so far, or at least kind of in your run, what would you see are the biggest deficiencies within public safety in the city currently?
Well, the obvious low-hanging fruit there is the lack of police personnel.
Mm.
I played football with Roberto Villaseñor, who was the police chief for several years, and he had about 1,400 officers that were paroling Tucson back in his day. And, you know, a short decade later, we're down to, you know, some say about 752.
Wow.
So we're about half of what we had 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you know, the crime rate has escalated geometrically. The homelessness problem is a problem. The fentanyl problem, the theft problem, the murder rate. You know, we're a growing city and we have a lot of problems, and we just don't have enough personnel. And I would suggest the same thing is happening over in fire as well. We don't have enough people and we don't have enough resources for them. So to me, that, again, the single most important thing a mayor and council does is to keep its citizens safe. And so to me, that's the reason we want to focus on that.
Awesome. And what do you think, what do you feel you'll bring to the role that kind of doesn't exist there as much as you would like to see?
My gift that I have been preparing all my life for is leadership. Mm. I have led over 24 organizations in Tucson. I've been on the national level and ran the American Advertising Federation for several years. Mm. I teach leadership at the university and at Northern Arizona University. I live out leadership on a daily basis, and I think that's what government needs is in the policy setting side of things. You know, we have a strong city manager, weak mayor government, it's called, and that is that the mayor and council set policy and the city manager implements that policy.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need in mayor and council is policy setters that are leaders that can, you know, take both sides into consideration, but do what's best for Tucson. And obviously, I have a specific view on what is good for Tucson, and some of the stuff we see in the last few years, I'm not that excited about. And so, I want to focus back on public safety, focus on housing and homelessness, and cleaning up Tucson. You know, we just Tucson isn't the beautiful little city that I grew up in. It's got its blemishes, and we need to have some strong leaders step in and say, let's do well with what we have, and let's clean up what we have so that we can stimulate some economic activity here in Tucson and get companies. Raytheon just announced that they're taking 150 jobs up north to ASU, outside of ASU, because they the talent pool and so forth. And, you know, that represents about $15 million worth of buying power. That should be happening in Tucson, and we've got to do a better job of jumpstarting the economic engine here in Tucson.
Absolutely. So how can people get a hold of you or plug in with your campaign if they want to help?
AckerleyForMayor.com is the best place, and they can make a donation there. We're still looking for $10 donations, so that would be the best place, and I'll give them a call back if they want me to.
Oh, well, awesome. Thank you so much, Ed, for joining us. And Sisto, thank you so much. That's Ed Ackerley for Mayor. This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain, here with crickets, because I have no guest co-host today. Yeah, it's just me. So I'm bringing twice the energy, and I feel like this has happened to us before, where it's just been just you and I. So we had to like bring twice the oomph.
Did we do that? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know what. I feel like there was some comment I made that you had like bring twice a sassy or something like that.
Oh.
But yeah.
You don't want to see twice my sassy.
It does sound a little scary.
My baseline sassy is more than decent. Enough.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I have to stay on my toes.
Barely appropriate
on my toes
for radio. Baseline.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll have to have that beep button ready.
Hey, I've done really good so far.
You've been great. Exactly. But if we tone up the sassiness, though.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, trouble.
Exactly.
Trouble.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, we'll keep baseline sassy.
Baseline sassy for Candace Eaton with Candace Eaton Photography. For sure. Speaking of Candace Eaton Photography, for those who haven't heard you on the show before, explain to them, what is Candace Eaton Photography?
C. Eaton Photography. Yeah. Yes. So I specialize in pet portraits and personal branding photography. So pet portraits is pretty self-explanatory. Mm. I take pictures of your cats and dogs and, you know, create artwork to hang on your walls.
In
and it's
any
really
setting,
fantastic.
At their home, in the park.
I work at people's homes. We go on location because we're in Tucson and everybody loves being outdoors here. Mm. We do a lot of outdoor stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants a sunset or the mountains or the sorrows in their photos. So
yeah,
I do a lot of that.
With cute little puppy in the front.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I do more of that in the not summertime because it is too hot outside for anyone or thing at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. I could see you just melting in the sun for sure.
I melt. The dogs melt. Well,
yeah,
it's nothing but like tongues everywhere and sweaty people.
Yeah.
And it's just not attractive.
It's
it
not
doesn't
fun.
Make great photos.
No, not at all. For sure. I don't think we've ever really kind of dug into this. Maybe slightly. Like, what made you think pet photography?
So when I first picked up a camera, I was, you know, you take pictures of pretty much everything around you, like, you know, flowers, plants, whatever, maybe friends and family, but I couldn't get any friends and family to sit still and let me practice on them. Mm-hmm. And I'd gotten tired of taking pictures of the same fake flowers in my living room over and over again.
Mm.
So I started going over to Pima Animal Care Center on the weekends and sitting on the trail where they walk the dogs and taking pictures of dogs as they came by. And, you know, when I got some good ones, I'd email them to the people that worked at PAC and be like, here, put it on your website. It's a cool picture of a dog. Then it got to the point that I was doing it so often and creating so many pictures that the volunteer coordinator at Friends of Pat or at Pima Animal Care Center at the time, she called me and she's like, so you're making work for me that I didn't want to have to do.
Uh-huh.
So we need you to actually show up here and be a volunteer so that you can put the stuff on the website yourself. And then I had a whole group of volunteers where we would show up on a Saturday morning really early and I'd set up a backdrop in the parking lot and we'd just run dogs out for a couple of hours and I'd photograph 20 or 30 dogs and go home and get the pictures ready and put them on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started asking me to do photos for them and their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided to leave my previous career, I had this thing, this photography thing kind of on the back burner that I was actively avoiding turning it into a business. So I was like, okay, cool. I guess I'm a pet photographer now. That's what we're going to do.
Interesting.
And started my pet photography business.
Yeah. So it was just like, it just called you. You didn't really even choose it. It chose you. Huh?
I tripped and fell right into it.
That's wild. That's wild. That's cool, though. That's super cool. And I guess kind of like in that same vein, a campaign that you do every year, you know, super unique. I think Pet Owners Over 40. I know I mess up the name of the campaign every single time.
So I just started the Pet Moms Over 40.
Pet Moms Over 40. Okay.
Project. I started that this year.
Okay.
I'm gonna continue it in some sort of different iteration every year, and create magazines or coffee table books or something that one we can use to celebrate the subjects and at the same time maybe work with a nonprofit like PAC or something and sell the books as a fundraiser kind of thing. So yeah, this year I'm photographing women over the age of 40 with their pets. Next year I think the theme is going to be gratitude. So people telling me what they're grateful for their pets.
Interesting.
So we'll be doing the same kind of thing, taking pictures of the pets and their people.
Mm-hmm.
But then the stories that I include is going to be like a letter, a love letter or a letter of gratitude to their pets.
Nice. And then speaking of PAC, tell us about the campaign you're doing with Friends of PAC that August 1st, I believe.
Yes.
It comes to a fold.
It starts.
It starts.
On August 1st. Okay. So the Friends of PAC calendar contest. This is the third year in a row I've done this.
Nice.
The last 2 years, I've raised over $40,000 in both years combined. And what we do is I run a photo contest. People enter their pets into the photo contest, and then they get their friends and family to vote on their pets. And to vote, you make a donation of a dollar or more to Friends of PAC. And so at the end, the 13 pets who got the most votes during the contest, and it runs for the entire month of August. The top 13 pets are the winners. They're going to go in the calendar for 2024. They get a photo shoot with me. This year, our theme is Western Adventures.
That sounds fun.
It is fun. And we're going to do our photo shoot at Trail Dust Town. We just did a promo video there this morning.
Okay.
It's a great location. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the goal this year, my goal this year, is to hit $50,000.
Okay.
We're looking for sponsors to help us with that. We're looking for people to participate, to enter their pets into it.
And how do they do that?
To enter their pets or get a sponsorship, they can go to my website, www.ceatonphotography.com, and there is a link to the contest website right from my website. And if they're interested in sponsoring, they can reach out to me from there, and I can get them more information.
Awesome. And then we have probably about a minute till we wrap up, but just for, you know, those that are interested, you know, outside that don't have pets, for the non-pet owning people, what are some of the other services that you do?
Personal branding photography.
Okay.
So I work mostly with small business owners, solopreneurs, to help them enhance their brands by creating imagery that they can use in their marketing that tells their unique story for them so that they can move away from stock photos, because everybody out there has the same stock photos for whatever industry you're in, pretty much.
Yeah.
I read an article just the other day about how the world at large, and advertising in particular, is becoming very rote, and everything looks the same. Coffee shops all have the same vibe. Realtors all have the same vibe. Even the person who did the research went so far as, like, cars and people, how people are coming to where everyone kind of looks the same, and colorless. People are opting more for whites and beige and things like that. We're losing color from our world and our marketing. And so now is a really great time to create a unique brand that stands out from everyone else. And a good way to do that is to develop imagery that tells your story and sets you apart from everybody else in your niche.
Nice. Well, ceatonphotography.com. Check it out. Thank you once again, Candace, for joining me.
You're welcome.
This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain. Definitely go to veteranrescuemission.org as well to check out the show and all the awesome work that we do to help homeless veterans. If you're a homeless veteran listening, give us a call, 329-9192, for help. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain, sans a co-host today, so you just get me, but I think I'll make it work. We got Tristan over in the corner taking a nap, so he'll be back eventually. And we have another great guest today. His name is Curtis Rollman. You've probably heard him before. He is one of the founders of Action Print and Copy. And thanks once again for joining us, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
And so for those who haven't heard you on our show before, or don't even know of Action Print and Copy, I guess, you know, fill them in on who is Action Print and Copy.
Well, we're a local print shop. We do printing, promotional products, signage. We kind of try to be a one-stop shop for people. We've got two locations, Tucson and Green Valley, Sahuarita area. Like I said, we do a great job. If you just walk in the door, we can also consult business to business with you. And we do all manner of printing.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing I love about your place, and I mention it every single time we have you on the show, Action Print and Copy reminds me of what I've always remembered of a copy place. You know, it feels like nowadays, you know, they've all kind of like, it's like an add-on to something else. It's not, you know, you don't see too many like your traditional coffee shop. Like there's a model of what a coffee shop looks like. Like that's right. That's what Action Print and Copy is to me. It's just like, it is a copy shop. Well, it has everything you need at a copy shop, and that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of print shops in town, but they don't really like to work with the public so much. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't like people walking in their door, but that's mm-hmm. really our strong suit. It's mm-hmm. it's a retail quick print, as well as, you know, lots of other, you know, larger jobs as well. Mm-hmm. But we do a great job of handling the people that just walk in, you know, whether it's, you know, somebody that just needs two copies and a fax mm-hmm. or somebody that needs to order, you know, thousands of business cards.
Yeah.
So it is a little different. We are what we are. We're not part of some big corporation. We're local. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what you're referring to, you know, yeah. as far as, you know, that is our mm-hmm. business.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and I don't. I mean, it's. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly halfway local and then halfway just encapsulating what we've all always loved out of, you know, a good old fashioned print shop, like where like all the things you describe, where there's, you know, there's people there to help you work through things, where there's an array of services, where it's, you know, it's full service and self service, where it's just, you know, it has everything that we've known for years in this, not, you know, a hybrid or an advancement of stuff. And it's just one thing kind of also that kind of comes to mind as, oh, you know, when I walked into your place is like the signage, you know, kind of like the way, you know, that kind of everything has symmetry, the continuity of it, and kind of to pivot on that, I know that's something you guys do, is like office graphic installs.
Yeah, absolutely. An area that we've really started growing quite a bit in is, you know, inside of offices, we can cover your wall with a full wall mural. We can put up acrylic signs, lots of different signage. If you start walking around, just look in this room right now, and there's signs all over the walls.
Yeah.
There's other art pieces or acoustical tiles like you have here. You know, we do a lot of that kind of business, and that's really fun type business because you watch a place transform, really. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's nothing like seeing a blank slate and then all the different graphics and things that you put up and watching it come to life. So like I said, we do a fair amount of that now, and we're always working with businesses to you know, give a lot of times it's a pretty economical solution that really makes a big impact. I mean, we're a small business as well. We're always looking at our costs. But you know, with a little bit of signage, well-placed, picture or mural or something, it makes a big difference, and people look at you and they really see that you're not just an old-fashioned print shop. So we have to live it ourselves and try to do that as much as possible.
For sure. Yeah, and it's definitely, I want to think it's something people consider, but maybe they really don't think of the intricacies as much as they should. And I want to think getting with someone like you, maybe you can give them suggestions or point out things that maybe they weren't thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like I said, a lot of times people don't really realize what's possible. Depending on your budget, I mean, it's like I say, small things, even just window graphics make a big difference. It's like some of the cheapest signage that you can do.
Interesting. Okay.
And we'll install it.
Okay. So, and that's gonna, like, with all, like, you know, the office graphic installs, you guys can do the graphics, you could install the graphics, I'm guess probably even help with the planning in some capacity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then another thing that I picked up that you're part of now, you're now a member of the Blue Blazers. Tell us, I guess, about, you know, for those who don't know what Blue Blazers are, what are the Blue Blazers, and, you know, what instigated you want to be part of that?
Well, it's a, you know, it's a group of people, volunteers, that work really hard to help the community bring in the Arizona Bowl every year and put it on. And that brings a lot of money to the local community. And you know, I got invited by one of the partners that I work with, you know, as far as, my credit card processor, great guy, was part of it, asked me to join. You know, it's really a way to give back, but also connect with people. Mm. But I'm kind of excited. I like sports. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about seeing a large event to its completion because, I mean, this thing takes most of a year to put on. Mm-hmm. And the Blue Blazer thing is, you know, all the members wear a blue blazer, so you know who they are and what they represent. And again, it's really about giving back, but also helping the business community, bringing business. I mean, those events bring a lot of money to the local economy. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, he probably caught me at the right time. I had a few free moments. Nice. And so now I'm committed, and you know, I'll be out there on game day in December, you know. Oh, cool. Doing whatever they ask me to do.
Well, they're lucky to have you, brother.
Well, thanks. Sure. I appreciate that.
So for those who want to plug in with Action Print and Copy, how can they do that?
Well, you can come see us in person at First and Prints here in Tucson, I-19 and Escalante, or Esperanza, sorry, in Green Valley. Mm-hmm. You can get us on the web, www.printapc.com. It's like our initials and the word print. Okay. And, you know, we're there to help you out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Curtis, for joining us, brother.
Thanks, John.
Well, this is Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing, Inspired Life Mortgage, Inspired Life Chiropractic, Pep Inc., Gap Ministries, Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, Seton Photography, The Marketing Corner, Action Print and Copy, Veteran Rescue Mission, and Home Community Services. We'll be back with all that and more after the break. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain. Nobody wanted to join me today, so I don't have a co-host, but I have already brought twice the energy I may be weaning out here in this last segment, but I think Bob will keep us alive here. We got Bob Call with Sabino Investment Management. Thank you so much for joining us, brother.
Oh, thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So for those who didn't catch the last time that you're on our show, what is Sabino Investment Management?
So I'm a registered investment advisor, and I have a value style. I have for a long time. Mm-hmm. So value style means I tend to buy stocks that sell at a lower price to earnings ratio, lower price to cash flow. And I believe you can get higher returns. And okay. Financials, there are plenty of financial studies that support that.
Mm, interesting. And I guess let's dig into it a little bit more. How long you've been in the industry? Like, what is kind of like your history within it and all that? What are some of the kind of like the Alex Rodriguez stats that you could talk about it?
Well, early in my career, I was a CPA. I worked for the Auditor General's office here in Arizona.
Okay.
I decided to go back to grad school. I got an MBA at UC Berkeley in finance. And then I went to Southern California, worked in the Los Angeles area for about 11 years, worked in the corporate controllers department at Mattel as a financial analyst at Tosco Corporation.
Interesting.
Which had 4 oil refineries at the time. Hmm. And also Xerox. And then I decided to make a career switch to investment management. So I began to pursue that. Returned to Tucson. I worked at Bank of America in the trust department for a couple of years, and eventually started my own business. So I've been dedicated to the value style ever since I read Benjamin Graham's book, The Intelligent Investor. Mm-hmm. And for the listeners that don't know, he was a mentor to Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett read his book, decided he wanted to learn more from him, and that's why he enrolled at Columbia to get an MBA. So he actually went to work for Benjamin Graham as well.
Interesting. I don't think we've ever heard this part of your story, so I'm going to continue to dig more into it because it's very you know, not too uncommon that, you know, we work out in the traditional corporate world, you know, uh-huh. we get our feet wet, and we kind of learn the industries and learn a lot from it. But then we find ourselves taking the leap into entrepreneurship and finding that, you know, we love it in whatever shape or fashion. What was that transition like for you going from what seemed like you had some really great jobs, you know, I'm sure making some really great pay that provide a decent life for you. What was going from that, and you know, and ostensibly giving that up to working for yourself? What was that transition like, and what feelings did you have that accompanied that?
Well, at Bank of America, I was told I had the best annual reviews in the state. I was told I was probably the most technically competent person. I was told this by the chief investment officer, probably the most technically competent person he ever worked with. Mm. However, he fired me because I didn't want to work for a manager that yelled the F word at me and made some other colorful comments. So, so I had to work for somebody I didn't respect and trust. And, you know, finally things just came to a head and I put my objections in writing, and as a result, I was fired. So should have gone to an employment law attorney first. But, that's what I tell students these days when I talk to students.
Yeah. So pretty much at that point, it was kind of like what probably felt like a catastrophic event that pushed you into getting into entrepreneurship. But I imagine maybe you'd considered it up until that point. And even at that point, you didn't necessarily even have to jump into entrepreneurship. You could have got a different corporate job. What was the frame of thinking that made you think, okay, enough of the corporate nonsense or whatever the case may be, is what I want to do?
Yeah, I was applying for investment jobs basically all over the country. And a lot of times, you know, people in the corporate world, they have this mentality, you know, if you're out of work, as far as they're concerned, you're just somebody that needs a job. They don't look at your credentials, what you've done in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, I mean, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And then, so I did some temporary assignments. I worked for CPA firms doing tax returns during tax season, and I'd work 60 hours a week or more. And then I did a temporary assignment up in Phoenix and Oregon. For Wells Fargo after they bought out First Interstate Bank. And then, so I wasn't finding another investment job, and I sent a resume to a CPA firm that had an ad in the paper. And then they called me and said, well, we don't think there's a right fit here, but we have this client that's got $20 million and he's just managing it with a broker in LA. And he needs some accounting work done also. Would you be willing to talk to him? So I said yes. And then we just worked out a deal where I dedicated 20 hours a week to him. I was free to get other clients while I worked out of his office. And so I had zero overhead, you know, for the phone or rent or anything. And so that's how I got started.
Nice.
So after putting all this effort into, you know, getting a regular investment job. I sent a resume to a CPA firm and
and just failed, you know,
got that opportunity.
Nice. So. That's super cool. Super cool. Yeah, with Candace Eaton, we just had her right now. She was telling us her origin story of how she went from corporate to kind of entrepreneurship. So, and it was, funny enough, it's a similar thing where it's just like, it just fell in her lap. Like, it was kind of really called her more than she was looking for it. So
yeah,
that was cool that you have that. So let's dig into your expertise. And I know this past month you wrote a blog, or this past week you wrote a blog, Don't Underestimate Bricks Plus. And as I read it, it was very enlightening because I've never heard any of these concepts ever before in my life. So just to start, what is BRICS, B-R-I-C-S? Never heard of it before in my life.
Okay, that's an acronym that stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa.
Okay.
So those five countries together represent 3.2 billion people, over 32% of global GDP. And so it's a significant population and economic bloc. However, there are another 41 countries that have either applied or expressed an interest in joining BRICS. And so they have a very important summit coming up in Johannesburg, August 22nd through the 24th. So some sources have said that they plan to announce a common currency for trade settlement that would be backed by gold.
Interesting.
And I went and looked at RT.com. So that's Russia Today. So it's an English language news agency, but it's funded by the Russian government. And so they broadcast here in the United States. And so, you know, just in the last two or three weeks, you know, just to give you a sample of some of the headlines, they have Italian businesses want to switch to rubles in Russia trade, taking the dollar down a peg. Russia seeks to expand de-dollarization drive. China and Russia should lead global governance reform, according to Xi. Russia proposes alternative to EU clearinghouses. Central American country, they're talking about Nicaragua here, wants to ditch dollar in Russia trade. And BRICS diplomat comments on what is drawing countries to the bloc. So, and I think a key development was last year when the U.S. and its allies basically confiscated $300 billion of assets of the Russia's central bank and another $30 billion of assets owned by sanctioned Russians. And so the rest of the world noticed that and said, well, wait a minute, you know, is our money safe with U.S. dollar assets? And so that has provided some impetus for other countries to look at what BRICS is doing and, you know, be very interested in a gold-backed currency.
Interesting. So, in a lot of ways, BRICS is kind of like like this global version of the EU.
Right. It's more dispersed geographically, but so there are countries in Asia, Latin America, Africa that are interested in joining. So
I mean, I know this information is kind of in line, but in the peripheral of, you know, the work you do with a client day to day, you know, let's just say, you know, one of our listeners call right now, they call you and they're looking to get your assistance. What can they expect?
Well, first I meet with a client, typically, you know, a one-hour meeting, talk about what their experience has been in the past, what they're looking for. And basically, we just try to find out if there's going to be a good fit. You know, I've had prospects come to me and say, well, I want guarantees and, you know, a guaranteed return. I said, you're asking me to commit a felony. I'm not going to do that.
It's like,
so that's an indication there's not a good fit. You know, I think when, I mean, typically when I evaluate somebody's current holdings, I mean, what I often find is, you know, the funds that I use have lower expense ratios. I mean, I use some ETFs, but they're ETFs with very low expense ratios. So, and typically my management fee is lower than what they're often paying. So, you know, right there, I mean, there's two levels of management fees where I can save them money.
Well, before we jump out, tell our listening audience how they can get a hold of you.
Go to my website, sabinoim.com. The IM stands for investment management. And it has my contact information there, and that's how to contact me.
Well, and thank you so much, Bob, for coming on the show.
Okay.
This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain. We'll catch you next time.